Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday, and I've actually got more podcasts than I've got time for today. I don't know what to do. We'll just see how we go. Marcus has got a dress-ups idea for Halloween. Food waste. Apparently, it's out of control. Leighton talks about this. Speaking of food, where should you put the cheese in a burger? And a climate coconut for you, literally. But before any of that, all the Manafort, the Papadopoulos, the Trump drama in the States, it's got Rachel wondering what it's all about.
This is what happens when big business enters politics. Millionaires, and in Trump's case, billionaires, who are used to doing deals, not doing democracy. Donald Trump's been on Twitter this morning. He says, why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems also the focus? Well, answer this. Why isn't policy and improving the lives of Americans and making America great again, why isn't that the focus? Instead, the focus has been on what must be the most morally bereft and ethically corrupt political administration in the Western world today. In the midst of all of this, we've got this investigation to uncover some of the shonky practices that undermine American democracy. Fat cats getting fatter. Fat cats pulling strings to ensure whichever way possible they would take over the White House. The Trump administration has never, and as far as I'm concerned, will never understand its mandate. And that's to work for the American people who voted them into government. That's what they are supposed to do. Instead, they do what they've always done. They work for themselves. And they work, it seems, for their own benefits. This is the tip of the iceberg in this investigation. The first big scalp, it's inevitable. More will follow. And what does that mean about the validity of the election that saw Trump get into power?
That doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, isn't it a bit like what we've ended up with as our government? I mean, it's the system. And it's no different to the way Richie McCaw used to play rugby. You work the system. And you push the boundaries, and whatever you get away with, you can get away with. That's life. Now, Marcus has got a good idea. He's been inspired by Halloween dress-ups. He wants to take it a bit further.
I'm not a doubter. This seems to be a holiday that people enjoy. Not my cup of tea. But it seems as though the love of dressing up has never gone away. There was a while there I was thinking of becoming self-employed, and I thought it would be a good idea to actually combine, to open up a business. Here's an idea for some of you. I'd open up a business that was half fancy dress shop, half bar. And people would go in and then rent or buy a stormtrooper outfit, then go to the bar and, you know, I don't know. Seemed a good idea at the time one night I was thinking about it. You could franchise it also. I think that would work. Anyway. That's just something that, in fact, I don't know why I said that. I feel silly for saying it now. Why did I think it would work? I still think it might. Someone will probably say they've been to one in Japan or something. That's normally what happens on this show. Someone says, well, they got one in Japan. I think, well, there you go. I didn't have to do it.
People love dressing up around here. I like drinking. So I think there's definitely an opportunity to combine the two in some way. There seems to be a connection there of some kind. We're throwing away $2 billion worth of food every year. This is bad, apparently. Here's what Leighton thinks.
The one thread that I picked up out of Hosking's conversation with somebody this morning on this was that if we didn't waste the food, everybody in the world would have as much as they needed or wanted, pretty much. There wouldn't be any hunger. Well, there is enough food in the world for nobody to go hungry, period. Forget the wastage. There's enough food in the world and capacity in the world so that nobody needs to go hungry. There are other reasons that it doesn't get distributed. And they are political, social, geographical, and criminal. And you might add one or two more than that. However, if we're wasting $2 billion, if we're throwing away, we're chucking it out, $2 billion a year in food. And I filled up the rubbish bag this morning, to be honest, and threw out a fair bit of stuff that I had bought And I'm going to be honest, not even opened. Asparagus, bean sprouts, some salad stuff. Bought it all for people who came for dinner about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Still, yeah, I know. It's unopened. So it was still sitting in the chiller bin. And I thought, I think it's time to get rid of it because we just didn't use it. What a waste.
Yeah, I mean, what was he thinking buying salad stuff for guests? People want little savouries. That's the most popular. Surely. There's never enough savouries. Nobody wants salad. People say they want salad. They don't. What they want is a nice cheeseburger. Apparently, though, the burger emoji... apparently, the one on Android has the cheese on the bottom, which, of course, is against nature. Against God, possibly. This sparked a little bit of a conversation with Kerry and Mac. Oh, it was a massive news day yesterday. Don't doubt it.
They're not going to want chocolate. They're going to want a burger with the lettuce on the bottom.
Oh, the burger debate.
Yes.
Yes.
There were people that totally agreed with you that the lettuce should be at the top.
And this has all come about because of an emoji. Well, a number of emojis. Basically, depending on which phone you have, either an Apple phone or a Google phone or a Microsoft phone, depends on how the burger is laid out. And Google are now going to change their emoji because, well, Twitter and Facebook have been up in arms because the burger has gone like this. This is from bottom to top. Bun, cheese, meat, tomato, lettuce, and then bun. So you can see what's wrong with that, can't you?
Oh, cheese.
Cheese on the bottom.
Cheese in the wrong place.
Cheese in the wrong place. Apple's burger goes bun, lettuce, meat, cheese, tomato, bun.
Yep.
But I say the lettuce is in the wrong place.
No, I would put the lettuce at the bottom.
Well, you don't want the lettuce that close to the meat because then it's going to melt the lettuce. You end up with wilty lettuce.
Doesn't matter having a little bit of light wilty.
Microsoft, however, I think they come closest to that. In fact, I think Microsoft have nailed it. Bun, meat, cheese, tomato, lettuce, bun.
Where's the gherkin?
No gherkin pictured in any.
Need a gherkin.
You've got a cultural divide there, though, haven't you? Because they call them pickles, don't they, in some places, gherkins. So that all gets a bit confusing. You can change your philosophy on these things, though, and that can be a significant moment in your life. For example, the pizza construction. I used to be under the... what do you call it? I had a philosophy that you should put your toppings on and then cheese all over the top of it so it melts over the top. And then I realised that your professional pizzas often had the cheese, you go sauce, then cheese, then toppings. And I've started making them that way, and it's better, I can't deny it, because what happens if you put the cheese over the top, everything just slides off. Whereas you go sauce, then cheese, then toppings, it all sort of binds together and the toppings melt in and they also cook better as well. I've spent perhaps too much time experimenting with this, thinking about this, because when it comes to melting cheese, I am an expert. And we almost don't have enough time to finish up with what this whole podcast has been leaning towards, which is Gloria's Climate Coconut, courtesy of Tim Beveridge. This is early this morning. It's not really yesterday's news. It's late breaking.
Climate changes. It's cycles. Nature, we go in cycles. Nature goes in cycles. Everything is cyclical. Mm. And we have times like this. I mean, you look at the clothing. You look at like the Roman times. Look at England. It was really warm. Did you know that New Zealand once grew coconut palms all over the North Island? We were so much warmer in those days. Believe me, I have one of those coconuts, and they're over a million years old, and they're miniature coconut palms, and I physically have one of the miniature coconuts.
What?
I do. I have one of the miniature coconuts. It was given to me by a lady that is a paleontologist and in other ways, that happened to stay on my property once. She knew I was interested. She had, you'd find them. Other people have found them. I'm sure someone maybe.
Well, I just think that maybe that the overwhelming weight of climate change literature and that humankind's causing might overweigh your position of a coconut. That's all. Just to be,
well, it proves the climate was much warmer in New Zealand than those days.
I'm
a lot
sure.
warmer.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Do you want to see my coconut? No, do you want to see it?
Oh, lovely. Maybe another time.
So there you go. Gloria running rings around Tim logically on climate change. You can't argue with prehistoric coconuts. You just can't. I am Glenn ZB. I think that was an amazing News Talk ZB today. I think, like, even if you had it independently assessed, they would come to the same conclusion. By scientists, by coconut enthusiasts, doesn't matter. I'll see you back here again for more.